Please be seated. Who do you say that I am? I don't know about you, but I think it can be challenging to answer that question about someone. It can be challenging to know someone well enough to say something beyond either a superficial answer or maybe some biographical information sounding like their CV. It requires that we actually know someone well, that we are in relationship with them, that we spend time together, that we talk, we listen to someone's story, hearing about their life experiences, learning the mystery of their identity as it is revealed bit by bit. And it really requires intentionality, close attention. It requires time to know someone at that level. And so here we are in the gospel where Jesus is with his followers and he asks that very question. But first he says, who do people say that I am? I have to imagine that was not a hard question. They readily answer. Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. They are reporting what they have heard people saying. There's this sense around them of what people think about who Jesus is, and it seems to be people think he is a prophet. And so as I say, I imagine that was an easy one to answer. Here's what we've heard. But Jesus doesn't stop there. He then asks the next question, who do you say that I am? I wonder what they were thinking when they heard this question. Maybe they were surprised by it. Maybe some of them even felt a bit on the spot. Rather than answering for other people, Jesus is now asking them their own thoughts. He's asking them to speak from their own experience of who they know Jesus to be, to tell what they themselves have seen and heard and experienced. And I wonder if that might not have been more difficult for them. I can imagine the group sort of looking around saying, all right, who's going to be the first? Maybe holding back, waiting, hoping someone will say something. And if it were me, I could imagine being worried about saying the wrong thing, about offering an answer that was not right for Jesus. With this question, Jesus is inviting the disciples to be vulnerable, to reveal their personal thoughts. And of course, he does this not to catch them, not to trap them. He does this with love. The question grows out of his relationship with them, their experience of being with him, of how they see him revealed. And I suspect that Jesus understands it's a really important question. In the days, weeks, and even the years to come, it'll only be from a firm and clear understanding of who Jesus is, of Jesus' nature, that the disciples will be able to faithfully face what lies ahead, that they will be able to faithfully embrace the mission, the call of Jesus extended to them. I can imagine there was great relief when Peter was the first to speak up and says, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus responds that this is divine revelation. This is from God. This is not from Peter. This is not from humanity. This is a moment where Peter is seeing Jesus as he is. Peter knows in that moment Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. Peter is glimpsing the identity and nature of Jesus. So who do you say that I am? In our time, the question of who Jesus is has different answers. Some say Jesus is a good man, or an ethical teacher, or some even say Jesus is a prophet. I know I've heard people tell me all those things. And many people understand that Jesus offers a way of life, a particular way of behaving and treating one another. Often people will point to what's called the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. That call of Jesus to love our neighbor as ourselves. And certainly those things are true. Jesus does indeed ask us to love one another. And certainly to live in this way can lead to behavior in the world which is embedded in kindness and altruism, which rejects the world's way of greed and hatred and violence. And so it's a fine way to live. It might even improve the world. But at the same time, I think it diminishes who Jesus is and the fullness of what it means to know who he is and to follow him. If we embrace Peter's divine revelation, if we understand Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of the living God, we enter into something far more than an ethical system of behavior. If Jesus is the Messiah, not only a good man, a teacher, a prophet, but if Jesus is the Son of God, then Jesus is the one the prophets foretold, the one the prophets longed for, the one they waited and watched for. Jesus is, in fact, God incarnate, the Word made flesh, present from before time. In Jesus, God is revealed to us. In Jesus, we can look on the face of God and live. We can see God in human flesh. In Jesus, the creator of everything that is, lives as a creature within the creation, humbling himself to be born of Mary, living among us as one who serves, showing us in concrete ways the broad love of God. And so in Jesus, we see one who not only calls us to embrace a particular way of life, to walk in his way of love, but we see the one who, through his incarnation, his death, and his resurrection, lifts humanity to the divine life of God. Jesus becomes human so that we might share his very identity, that we might be lifted to eternity. As Messiah, Jesus is the one who has power to deliver us from the hold of evil, of sin, and of death. Jesus comes to set us free from whatever alienates us, from all that separates us from the love of God, of neighbor, of ourselves, of creation. Jesus, the Messiah, comes to transform us, to set us free from fear and despair, to open us to the life of self-giving love. And Jesus calls us, empowers us to live just as Jesus did in his earthly life and ministry. If we know Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God, then that leads to our focus being on living a life of worship and of prayer and of celebrating the sacraments. We are called to worship Jesus, to offer him ourselves, our souls and bodies, to turn over to him our will, to love and follow him in all things. And we're called to gather in community, to allow him to form us into the body of Christ as we gather for liturgy, encountering God revealed in word and in sacrament, especially in the Eucharist, when we receive the body and blood of Jesus, when we are forgiven and healed, when we are knit by the Eucharist together into one body in Christ. In the Eucharist, Jesus is revealed to us, to our bodies, to our souls, and comes to nourish us, imparting grace that we can be his presence in the world. And following Jesus, the Messiah, leads us then to live a life of prayer, to set aside intentional times for silence, for reading scripture, for praying. We are called to come regularly into God's presence, to bask in God's love in times of quiet and prayer, of contemplation, and of intercession, lifting the needs of the world to God. And it is when we encounter Jesus in worship, in prayer, and in sacrament, that we come to know him more and more, that we grow in relationship with him, that we deepen our trust in him, and our knowledge of who Jesus is expanded. Faithfully engaging in these practices, we know who Jesus is in fresh and more profound ways. And by God's grace, Jesus is revealed to us more and more, just as Jesus was divinely revealed to Peter. In today's epistle, Paul exhorts the Romans, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Throughout this section of the letter to the Romans that we've been hearing these last few weeks, Paul is teaching that through baptism, we become a new creation in Christ. Through the waters of baptism, we die to the ways of this world, and we are raised to new life in Christ. In baptism, we no longer live for ourselves alone. We live for Jesus. We are baptized into his body, the church, and we become members of one another. We enter into community, called to live by mutual affection and caring, loving one another as Christ loves us. And so our primary identity becomes as members of Christ's body, the church. And as the body of Christ, we offer our lives in loving service, following Jesus in loving without counting the cost. Through baptism, we put on the very identity of the risen Savior and become his presence in the world. Just as those first followers of Jesus grew in their understanding of who Jesus is, so must we. Just as Peter and the others filled with the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit on that first day of Pentecost went out to the ends of the earth preaching Jesus crucified and raised from the dead, so must we. Just as those first followers of Jesus were emboldened by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, filled by the power and the gifts of the Spirit, so that they could leave behind fear and despair, they could trust in God, and they could go wherever the Spirit sent them, so must we. Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, calls us to be members of his body, to be incorporated into his divine life, and to be sent in the world in loving service, especially to the least and the forgotten. Who do you say that I am? Jesus asks us today. May God's grace reveal him more and more to us. Through prayer and liturgy and sacrament, may we come to know him more. May we be drawn ever closer to God and transformed into the body of Christ, his presence in the world. And may our lives be a witness to Jesus, that others come to know him and declare, along with Peter, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen.